pray that that chorus or that praise is not just words, that we really do want you to change our hearts so that we may become more like you. Father, we just raise it and lift it to you in your Son's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated this morning. As we prepare this morning for the Lord's table, one of the most obvious things that we gain from remembering, or we gain from this event, is home. Is home. You know, you hear that often when you go to funerals about they're finally home. And we're going to do some studying today about Peter talking about the evidence as you live and the joy of going home. And as I studied and I prepared and I thought through this, I thought, you know, what a reminder for you and for me about going home. And we can see all kind of different videos. I like to watch sometimes the surprising of the military people coming home and going to the workplace and surprising mom or wife or whoever it may be, and some of their facial expressions. And, you know, I've seen it to where they've had a tray of food and it's on the ceiling by that time. I mean, they get so excited, they just whip the thing, you know. And the joy of going home. Man, that's phenomenal, isn't it? When you're away for a while and you know, you come home, it's nice to be away, but man, there's nothing like putting your head on your own pillow. It's great to be home. And so as we look at the Lord's table this morning, I want you to think about home. Think about the right that we have to go home, the right that we have to be able to be in God's house. He states that he's good if he go to prepare a place for us. If he goes to prepare that place for us, he will come again and receive us unto himself. Man, we're going to go home. What a joy that is, isn't it? That ought to get you some excitement. Let me give you a definition of excitement. It's not that. We got to be excited about the fact that there's going to be a day we go home. You know, this life that we live now, we're journeying through it, the bumps and the bruises. We're journeying through all the struggles and the joys. I mean, listen, you don't have just bad days as you walk this journey. There's some good days in it. And as we go through this journey of life, one of my heart desires is that knowing I have a desire to go home stirs me to live until I get there. It stirs me to know. And it's not just because I'm going to stand before God, which we all will. It's not just that I'm going to answer for everything I do. That's like a parental, ooh, yikes. I've been there way too many times in my journey. This is an opportunity that I know I'm going to be home forever. And that stirs me. And you've heard me say it before, you know, this is not my home. The world is not my home. I'm just here recruiting. We ought to be recruiting. Because why? Because we know what our home looks like. We know going home. And there ought to be many that want to have that same desire to go home. So as we think this morning, I want you to ponder in your mind. Not that I want you to ponder, man, the going home. But I want you to ponder the home you're going to. It's not just the one that you live in now. It's not just the one across the street. It's the one you're going to. And how, as we remember what God has done for us, it paved the way. It is the key to unlock that door to go home by the blood of Christ shared for you and I. And so as you ponder that and think through that, and we're going to develop that a little bit in our study today. When you think of that home, man, look at the beauty today. Look at the beauty this weekend. All the colors, all the leaves, it is not going to hold a lick of a candlestick to what we're going to see. Man, the beauty coming through because of the glory of God shining all around. And that's a day that we can't wait to be a part of. So when you think of that as we take the Lord's Supper, do you appreciate the key that he handed you? Do you appreciate that key that gives you the entrance into that home? And we're going to see that as we study a little bit today. But as the men come, we also realize that Scripture teaches that anyone can partake if they're a child of God. If you're here and you're in good standings with God, let's partake with us. That's the only rules that he has, is we are to examine our own life, our own hearts. And if we are standing in good standing with him, then, man, he says, remember this. because this is why we can stand in good standings with a holy God, is because of what this event represents and because of what this event does in our life. So gentlemen, you come as we prepare, as they come, folks, just examine your life before God. We're going to take a minute, just examine your hearts as we begin our time together this morning. God, we come to you this morning, and you know the world in which we live in. You know the brokenness that is here. You know the struggles that we face every day. But Father, we are reminded that although we will face those tribulations and trials in this world, be of good cheer. You have overcome the world. And God, we see that today as we come into your presence today. We come into this time of remembrance. We understand that today because of what this day and what this event brought, the redemption paid the price. And therefore, as we live in this broken world, we know that there's a home that we're coming to that is far greater forever. And God, as we begin our time together, as we look at the bread that was broken, Father, I pray that we never forget that broken body, that the body that should have been our brokenness, that should have been our bodies, Father, your Son took in our place. God, may we never forget what it took for us to have that entrance into home. And God, I pray as we begin that you'll just really begin to soften our hearts and minds as we remember the body that was broken. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen. As Christ taught in the upper room, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Thus do in remembrance of him." God, as we continue to remember this day, the events of this day, your blood was not only shed on the cross, but your blood was shed all over the whipping post. Your blood was shed all over the tool used to beat your body. Your blood was shed all over the road to Villa Dolorosa. And God, your blood was shed on the cross for the remission of all the sins in the world. And God, I pray as we look to the reverence of that, we look to the need of that and the importance of that. God, may we never forget that we have been redeemed and forgiven, and we are now called yours. And God, may we understand that to an in better ways, so that we may again live like we are excited to go home. And we pray this in your Son's name. Amen. Christ continued to teach in the upper room, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This drink it, and oft as you do in your remembrance of me." God, as we remember this moment today, we don't want to rush away from it. Because when we come into your presence and remember what you've done, we should stay there a little bit. We should bow our knees. We should humble our hearts. And we should be so grateful and thankful of all the blessings you give us every day, of all the things you do and put into our life. Father, it's all points to the day that we're home. And God, we thank you. We praise you. In your Son's name, amen. Thank you, man. As we get into our study this morning, I first want to thank Flo for stepping in. Jeff's not here today, and so she joyfully, nervously, but greatly stepped in. So it's great to have her here helping us out today and playing that. We greatly appreciate that. This morning, as we continue to look through what God is doing and how God is really directing our lives through. And I love studying through Peter. I love studying the book, because as we study through the book of Peter, we realize that there is a man who lived what he preached. But there's also a man who lived and saw his mistakes forgiven by God and was restored. Because that's what the whole letter is about. That's what 2 Peter is all about. It's about having that restore or that restoration of life. Peter was told by God in Luke 22, Satan wants to have you, and when he has you and he throws you around for a little bit, then he's going to, when you're forgiven and you understand it, then tell others. We have Peter, of all of the apostles who could have written what he wrote, we have a man who understood what it was like to sin against God. We have an individual who understood what it was like to be forgiven by God and then to go live for him in a way that he blocked out all of the other things. He blocked out all that the world could do to him. He blocked out all the fear that he could have of men. He blocked out all of that. And his number one purpose in this letter was to encourage. And so when we find this first, the first chapter of the second letter, obviously the second letter built off the first, but this first chapter, we've seen some pretty amazing things, because once the introduction was done at the end of verse 2, we've been looking at all the divine nature of God. We looked at his promises. We looked how we are to partake in those promises. But one of the greatest things that you and I need to realize is that in the beginning of this, in 3 and following, when he talks about God's divine nature in us, means you and I can be and do what we have today. Because none of us is going to do a thing for God that's going to matter when we go home to eternity. We cannot do it the way God intended it to be done. We don't have the strength. Listen, I have Christ in my life, and I struggle getting her done. You got Christ in your life. You struggle getting it done. Imagine if you didn't have him in your life. Man, there'd be a lot of craziness, wouldn't there? There'd be a lot of hopelessness. There'd be a lot of stuff that you and I wouldn't be able to cling to. But if not be for the grace of God, I can literally tell you in my life right now, I would not be alive. I would not be here. And I know that for a fact. Because of where I was headed, because of what I was doing, because how I gave up on God. And I'm thinking, maybe you can tell that same story. Maybe you have situations in your life where you just came to God, you doubted him, you got to a point in your life where you're like, you know what? If it don't get any better, it's not going to get any. It's not going to go anywhere. I'm done. And listen, Peter is facing a group of people that have to be at a point where they're like, man, this is hard. This is difficult. This is really, really hard to be a Christian. We're not there yet, but we're going to get there. I truly believe we will have to face some things in our life, in this world, because we want to continue to stay true to the Word of God. I'm not saying staying true as a church. I'm not staying true with the way that Christendom is flowing, because it's not flowing in the right direction in some areas. But you and I, if you want to stay a true Christ follower, you want to stay true to the Word of God, we're going to have a life lived with home in view. You see, that's how we do it. That's how it works. Because we have to have something better than we see every day, right? After all, y'all look in the mirror every day, right? Got to be something better than that, right? I'm just kidding. Just seeing if you're awake. Oh, there goes my light. I'm going to trip myself up. But anyway, as we see what God is doing through Peter to this group of people, we can't help but yet be encouraged, because we don't know if, but yet our life will end up being the same someday. So when we go through this, interesting enough, we're going to jump into 2 verses today, verse 10 and 11. So much in these verses. We're coming off a couple of the verses that we're going to have to transition in a little bit. But when we see what we saw in the latter part of 3 through 7, we saw the virtues in 5 through 7, and we saw the results of the consequences in verse 8 and 9. Verse 8 says that if you obey, this is what's going to happen. Verse 9 says if you don't, this is what's going to happen. And the greatest thing about God is he doesn't leave us guessing, does he? He tells you exactly, listen, if you do this, this will happen. And then we get surprised why things happen. That's like, we need to go back. I was told in college, and I know I've shared this before, that when I was going into the ministry, one of my professors said that you need to be sure of your calling, because your calling is all you're going to have at times and points in your life when you're dealing with ministry. I'm like, yeah, right. I understood it all. Got it all. I had no clue what he said until I experienced it. And then you understand the calling. And you know what? Peter is going to address that today. Your calling. And so when we look at that and we understand, when he starts verse 10, wherefore the rather, what he's referring to, he just came off verse 9 saying, if you don't do it right, verse 9 says that if we don't do it right, basically you're going to be blind, you're going to be nearsighted, you can't see things far off, and have forgotten that he or you were purged from your old sins. When we don't have these virtues that he said in verse 5 through 7, we don't have them in our life, we don't live them in our life, we're forgetting that we've been redeemed. We forget that we used to be that sinful wretch saved by the grace of God. Listen, God says remember a lot in the Bible, because remembering where you've been allows you to appreciate where you are. Better yet, appreciate where you're going. Where you're going home. And so when Peter begins to do this, and again, verse 10 starts off of the rather, don't be verse 9, be verse 8. Verse 8 says that these things in you, and again, we're going to look at that as we study through this. So the first thing we want to point out in this is the evidence today leads to the entrance tomorrow. It's a statement that I want you to begin to think about, because the evidence today in your life leads to the entrance of your home tomorrow. Listen, you will be very grateful that I am not a prophet. Because I'm not telling anybody they're dying tomorrow, okay? You're not going home tomorrow, unless God has other plans. That is a statement that if you think through your mind, it's going to allow you to look at your life today and say, what evidence do I have that tomorrow I may go home? The entrance into home. We don't know who. Listen, you don't have anything guaranteed except the breath you just took. You don't have nothing guaranteed beyond that. Just the breath that you just took. And so, evidence today leads to the entrance tomorrow. As we pull that into an understanding, how do we know evidence that we belong to God? How do you know you are a child of God? Interesting. I'm not sure how many of you have thought that question through lately, but I think it's a very important question that we need to ask ourselves periodically, because it's the evidence that we need to know. And we're not talking about the next person. We're not talking about the one sitting beside you. We're not talking about the scripture where we're able to judge by the fruits of a man if they're saved. I want you to know you are saved. Because it's just words. I could tell you that I love the Lord, that I'm a saved child of God, and I can snow you a lot. Anybody been fooled by somebody's words? Everybody, we have an election, you know. I'll just leave it there. We have an election. When we look at, I want to get right down. J. Vernon McGee always says, "Where the rubber meets the road," because this is about you today. This is about me today. This is about your heart and your God. Nobody else. So focus in on you today. And as we see this, how do we know, how do you know, that's the evidence, know that we belong to God? Second thing, what will going home look like? I'm not saying the method. You know, you've heard me say many times, I'm not afraid to die and know exactly where I'm going. It's the way in which that bothers me. There's way too many options out there. But I'm not afraid to go. What does that look like? Peter addresses that in these two verses. And I think as he addresses it, brings us to a point of, it's amazing in this transition, because Peter now just explained the virtues. Peter just explained the divine nature, the divine promises, and how we are to participate in those promises. And he explained how great God is. And he says all these, this is what you need to do. And now there's two verses that's transitioned, because when you go down into verse 12, another wherefore. And then you go into the rest of it about what do you do with the Word of God. He's setting the, this is a transition, because he says, okay, well, let's wait a minute. I'm giving you a lot of truth, giving you a lot of things about God. Now, this is your moment to pause for a moment and see where you stand with him. This is phenomenal, two verses of Scripture. And so we're going to answer these two questions as we study today. That's the goal, and hopefully we get it done. First one, how we know, again, evidence, we belong to God. Verse 10. I'm going to read it, and then we'll study it up together. Wherefore, rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fail. Interesting. Never fall, as we see this. First of all, give diligence. Be eager. Make every effort. Be diligent, okay? He's really encouraging you and I to have an attitude, have a heart attitude towards God or towards what he's going to ask us. But this give diligence is the same as being eager. Make every effort you possibly can. And listen, there are things that we are involved in our life that we make a lot of effort to. And there are things that we maybe in our mind, you know, if you're getting it to where I'm at anymore, my mind says go for it. The rest of my body says it ain't happening. We have a lot of things out there that we desire, a lot of things. But listen, if we don't give diligence, if we don't make every effort, what's the latter part of that verse says? If you do these things, ye shall never fall. It's not talking about salvation. You will never lose your salvation. Genuine repentance brings genuine forgiveness, which brings genuine change. It's that change, the knowledge, do you know, the evidence that there was a God in your life. Change is required. So giving diligence to this is very important. The second thing we find is make sure the confidence we have in our standing with God. This Greek word, sure, or this idea of this Greek word sure has to do with in the ancient Greek times is a word that was used for a warranty deed. Same thing you would do, you know, you get all these warranties, you buy these appliances, they come with a warranty. They come with an agreement that if I didn't do something right or I didn't make this part right and it breaks on you, then, you know, I got to take care of it. This making sure, this concept, these things in your life is a very important aspect, because these things in our life, when it says that we need to make sure, diligence, to make your calling and election sure, that word sure is very important, because it's your guarantee that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt you're a child of God. It's the things that he talked about in verses 5 through 7. It's the virtues in our life. It's how we love the unlovable. It's how we respond to the brokenness. It's how we walk this journey through all the struggles of life. How we do what we do is a warranty deed that I'm a child of God. Because if not, I wouldn't put up with half the things I put up with. I wouldn't think. One of the old dear pastor friends of mine said this to me one time. He said, you know, as pastors, he said, I know you're going to understand this. He says, as pastors, we do not have the luxury or the privilege to say what we think. I said, did you have a bad Sunday? Yes, he did. 10 minutes before he preached, he had somebody come nail him. And that's what he told this person. Are you done? Because I don't have the privilege to tell you what I'm thinking right now. That's not sinning, is it? Oh, that's another message. We're not going to that. I will incriminate myself if we go that far. But listen, as we see this, it's make sure. It's your way of knowing. The greatest diagnostic questions that we can talk about somebody's salvation. If you were to die today, do you know you go to heaven? See what they say. What is the answer to that? I think so. I hope so. Oh, I know I will, because I've been better than I've been bad. I've been good. We have all the answers that are thrown at us out there. But see, it's a second question that says, well, let's just say you did. And you stood before God and he said, why should I let you in? What's your key to come home? How do I know that this is the address of your home? You see, That's the question. If you don't say the blood of Christ, then you're out. You're not home. You're not home. You see, you got to make sure. And you know what I find today in a lot of Christendom and a lot of Christians' lives? They're questioning that. Why do Christians today question so much whether they're really saved? Whether really God's in their life? My understanding is because they're focusing on the pains and the hurts that the world's thrown at them. And they're thinking that salvation, that God, means that they're going to have a better, a little easier way in this earth. Or that God is supposed to come down and answer their prayers the way they want them. And we get this misconception of God because we come to God with our own definitions. We come to God with our own understanding of what we think He should be. And a lot of times we have elevated ourselves intellectually to try to say that we can know God and love God based upon how we think He should operate. And listen, it's out there everywhere. Make sure. Make sure you're saved today. Make sure. It's the confidence. It's the warranty deed. Listen, you think God's going to go back on the warranty? Wouldn't that be, that'd be terrible, wouldn't it? I'd have my whole life preaching. Paul says, if Christ didn't rise, then all his preaching is in vain. Man, everything we would do for Christ would be in vain if he goes back on, listen, he ain't going back on his warranty. In fact, his warranty is 100% guaranteed, sure, by the blood of his Christ, sealed it, and said, I go to prepare a place for you. And I will draw you unto myself, that where you, I am, there you may be also. Forever. Forever home. Man, that's going to be a great thing. It's going to be a great day. The next thing we need to see through this verse is some of the idea of how this same word is used through the Bible. So I'm going to turn to these very quickly, and because it's a different word, but it's a concept we're looking at. Secured. Hebrews 6:19. Hebrews 6:19 states this. Which hope, again, talking about the hope that we have in God, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil. Listen, that's my hope. My hope in my warranty of my deed says that the veil was broken. And that when the veil's broken, it wasn't just one priest one time a year going into the Holy of Holies. When the veil's broken, guess what? That means I'm going. I'm going to be in the Holy of Holies. I'm going to be at the throne of my Father. You see, it's a word that means and goes along with this deed. The second thing that we want to look, or second time we see it, is Romans 1:16. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, we have Paul again doing some preaching and teaching, and he simply says here, it's a guarantee, in verse 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Well, the word sure is not in there, but I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power. It is the guarantee. It is the surety that I'm saved. It's the blood of Christ. It's, Paul said, listen, I'm not ashamed of that. How do we know that we're saved? How do we know that God lives within us? Because we won't be ashamed of it. We'll stand up and we'll preach it from the mountaintop. We'll stand up and live it. We'll stand up and share it when the opportunity arises. Peter is now at a point in his life, he's not afraid what man can do to him. Because Peter doesn't make it, does he? Peter dies, and how does Peter die? Do you ever do a how did Peter die? He died the same way Christ did, didn't he? He died hanging on a cross, except Peter had so much reverence for his God, he says, I will not die like him. He had them turn his cross upside down. And he died upside down on his cross. That's how much he loved his God. Like, man, that just blows my mind away that Peter came from where he did what he did, served his God, and couldn't wait to go home, but he had a reverence for his God. That was unbelievable. Unbelievable reverence for who his God was. So it was a guarantee in Romans 1:16. The last one I'm going to turn you to, there's a couple others we could go to, is Hebrews 3:14. And in Hebrews 3:14, it says, "For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end." Confidence. Listen, this word is phenomenal. Do a study through this. If you have a Strong's Concordance, you go into there, you get the Greek number, the strong number for this word, and follow it through scriptures, because it will give you the assurity that you are a child of God. It'll give you confidence, guaranteed your security. It's going to allow you to say that no matter what I do, God's forgiven me. Now listen, we already dealt, you go to Romans, talking about on Wednesday night in Romans, we already dealt with that. Paul says in chapter 6, verse 1, if sin abounds, or grace abounds, does that mean we should go sinning? No. Just because you're eternally secured and just because you have an ability to sin, don't go sinning. Because then you're going to God and telling God, "I challenge you, God." Listen, God's guarantee is 100% warranty, right? It's a guarantee, not going to fail His end of it. If you're a true, repentant, forgiven child of God, you will go to heaven, period. But man, don't tempt God playing in the middle of the road. Don't tempt God in the process of that. Sinning should not be a part of it. But this guarantee that He gives us, to me, it gives me my hope. It gives me my confidence to say, you know what? I don't care what man does to me. If you're going to send me home, then God's waiting for me. It's okay. It's okay to go home. When we look at this and we pull this together, note this. Godly behavior is a warranty deed to oneself that Christ has cleansed us from sin and we belong to Him. It's a statement that we need to understand in our life. Why is it so important to do what we do? Why is it so important to listen to what God asks? Why is it so important to do what God wants us to do when it hurts, when it's hard, when it seems impossible? Because it's your warranty. It's your guarantee that I'm a child. Why? Because that's when God picks us up. Man, I love it when God carries me. I don't love the reason why He's carrying me, but I love the fact He's carrying me. I love the fact that we can go through any storm in our life knowing that He has us, knowing that He's going to carry us, lift us, until He can put us back down and say, "Now you need to go on living." Live the virtues, which are the evidence, listed in verses 5 and 7, which are these things in verse 8. You see, Peter in this letter, again, he didn't have the visions. Peter did not have 1 hour for them to read the letter. You get that, right? Y'all looking at that, okay. I'm still amazed at that 12 o'clock twitch that some people get. But anyway, Peter didn't have just 1 hour to teach this. This is why it's taken us weeks to do this. This goes unbelievably true with our lives. There's a reason why we're supposed to be different. There's a reason why the change needs to be in our life. It's not to make your life miserable. It's not for you to miss out on all the joys of this world. There's a reason, and that evidence is so that I know I'm saved. Because that's the most important thing we could ever decide in this world, is that where we are going, where we will go when our day is done. Very important in our lives. The question we have, are you convinced you belong to Christ today? Based on the evidence, based on what we're just looking at, are you, now we're not talking about, yeah, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven because God said so. That's a very true statement. We're just, now let's go one step level. The evidence that you know in your life, not what the other person's doing, not what they think of you, not what you think of them, you, your evidence, are you convinced? Are you truly convinced that if you would die right now, you'd be in heaven? By the evidence that you live in your life. And it's interesting because it brings it into one higher aspect. Yes, if you're saved and you've accepted Christ, you're saved, you're going to heaven. There's no doubt about that. But are you convinced right now based on the evidence? See, in a court of law, evidence is what either gets you in or gets you out of prison. It's the evidence. What evidence do you have that you are saved? And this is to you in your life and how you think of it. Verse 11 says, going home. And this is the important part. Going back into Peter again. After these things you saw. And I know that there's two words in there that you probably all thought, oh, let's listen to this. The calling and the election. Those words have been argued and disputed by many greater men than myself, and they can't agree. So, the calling that God gives us, I'm a firm believer that God will open the blinders of our eyes so we understand the truth that we need. I also believe that God knew before the foundations of the world that his son was going to die. I also believe that God knew before the foundations of the world that when my eyes were open to truth, he knew what I was going to choose. I don't think God makes mistakes, does he? God don't waste no time, does he? Therefore, not everybody's going to understand or see or be called because he already knows what they would choose. Listen, God's not a big old giant up there going heaven, hell, heaven, hell, heaven, hell. He's not doing that. A God like that would never send his son to die for you to get out of hell. You see, it's not about an election where we think, oh, it's all God's choice. It's all God choosing. It's all God doing. Yeah, God calls us because he knows. He knows us. You can never put election apart from his omniscience. Because then you end up finding a God that just picks and chooses. God doesn't pick and choose. His son covered the blood and sins for all, right? All have sinned. The cross covered all the sins in the world. That all may be saved. His desire is that none go to hell. But hell's full of people that God didn't want there. You see, it's interesting. You got to put all the dots together and you got to have a study. Because you and I have no responsibility in the fact of who is and who isn't. Our responsibility is to share the redemptive story to everyone. To the all. God will make it right from there. God knows. God will make it sure that those will go home who needs to be home. So, in doing that, the calling and the election and all of that, very important. That's what we are to be diligent about that in our life. Going home. Verse 11 starts out, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For such an entrance. Have you thought about that? What is that entrance going to be? Personal welcome is the ultimate reward. The personal welcome. Listen, God's going to stand. We got to go to Acts chapter 7. We got time. We're going to do this really quickly. Acts 7 verse 56. It's a phenomenal passage that allows you and I to really see, I think, the best perspective that we have in scriptures on what that going home may look like. I don't know about you, but I've never been there and back. I don't think anybody has truly been there and been back because scripture says no one has seen the glory of God and lived. So that's another sermon for another day on all the rest of them. But in this Acts chapter 7, we know Stephen is being stoned and starts in verse 54, Stephen being put to death. And in verse 55, he says this, he said, being full of the Holy Ghost, look up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God and said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. To my study thus far, this is the only time scripture says that he's standing. Why is he? He's always seated at the right hand of the Father, right? Why is he standing? Welcome home. Welcome home. Listen, that's what heaven, that's going home going to look like. God is, his Christ is going to stand and said, my death, my suffering, all that I went through, welcome home. Welcome home. You coming home makes purpose in my death. Man, that coming home is going to be unbelievable. The ultimate reward is that you guys, you and I, everyone who knows Christ, is going to be have a personal welcome. He's going to stand up and welcome us home. Man, that's phenomenal to me because that's a holy God that is orchestrating everything that we know today. He is a God who planned, who prepared and counseled with no one to create all that we will ever know. And he is a God that is way above me. But he, at that moment, stands up for me and says, welcome home. Man, that ought to be an exciting thing, huh? What a day. that will be when we stand before him and we rejoice. For such an entrance, back into Peter. Don't read the word of God and just say, for such an entrance. What about that entrance? Man, study that through the word. It's phenomenal when you study through that. The next thing we see, the abundantly. The abundantly, as we say, the entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly. Abundantly supplied richly for you, an entrance into God's kingdom. Isn't that phenomenal? Man, we got abundant. Now, this is not talking about the dollar bill, okay? He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He has all the riches. He owns and is able to give you and I everything we need right now, this moment, today. So why are you worried about the stock crashing? Why are you worried about what comes and what goes from your life? He's a God that knows, and he cares. Lay all your worries. Those who are heavy laden and burdened, come, put my yoke upon you, and I will give you rest. Listen, man, Christians ought to be the most happy, energetic, non-worrisome people that walk this earth. But y'all don't look like that. We all don't look like that. We allow some of that stuff to come into our lives and worry us up. But the abundance, going home is such an entrance, he stands. And the abundance of his riches at that moment are going to be beyond our understanding today. It's very important as we see this and pull this together today. Our takeaway from these two verses today, again, very important. When you lay your head on the pillow each night, recall the evidence that you are his. Every night when you go to bed, lay your head on the pillow. Think through your day. Look for the evidence that I'm his child. That'll get you a little excited for the next day, to maybe to live a little better, have a little others in your life. It's a constant accountability and a reminder that I am a child of God. Therefore, virtues should be seen in my life. Things should be seen in my life. Very important. Second thing we pull out of this. Everywhere or everyone will go to eternity. Some will go home and some will not. Just think about that for a minute. Everyone will go into eternity. Some will go home and some will not. Because God loves all of us. God wants all of us to go home. Listen, we are created in the image of God. We are created. God created us for the communication, for communing. When Adam and Eve were created, he came to the earth. He walked with them. He talked with them until sin came into the world. Every person ever created, I believe, should call heaven home. Some will not. Some will not. When you ponder through that and you allow that to sink in, that's a very profound and a very difficult phrase to understand. Because some of those people who want, you know. Some of those people who won't make it into home, you'll know them. Man, I pray that every day. I pray this encourages you, man. Don't let this be a Debbie Downer deal. There's no Debbies here, right? Sorry. Gotta be careful. Don't let this be a Downer deal. Don't, because why? This ought to encourage us. Because I know I'm going home. I just want to recruit. I just want to make sure everybody gets there. I want to make sure everybody sees my life. Everybody sees your life. They see the virtues of Christ lived them. They know how to get home. But when we struggle knowing whether, and we question whether we're saved, how can we show others? It ought to be a done deal. It ought to be a sealed deal. You ought to move beyond the stage of wondering if I'm saved or not. And you'll know that by the evidence in your life. Peter said to this group of people, listen, you'll know. You'll know. God will bring you home. God will bring you home. One last thought. The heart of the problem is the problem with the human heart. It's not about anything we're living in. It's not about any diseases that are in our world today. And I'll be as, might as well be blunt, I get in trouble. It's not about any vaccine, good, bad, or otherwise. It's not about any government, good, bad, or otherwise. It's my heart, my heart. The problem with me is me. The problem with you is you. It's your heart. That's the human problem. It's the problem of the human heart. God, we thank you for today. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for all that you do in us and through us. And Father, as we looked at this morning and we understand the subtle truth of this, God, we need to stop looking everywhere around us and seeing everything going on wrong. Every now and then, we need to come back and we need to just come back to the basics of our lives and say, what do I need to change? What do I need to be? What do I need to do? Marquette says it well. Normal's not coming back, but you are. And Father, we've said that before. We used that before. It's a phenomenal reminder. But God, I pray today that these two verses, it's transitioning between everything you have done to what we need to do and the importance of why we need to do it. Before we can go on in understanding your word and how we are to